right, and so, again, welcome. So I'm going to start a series based on the book Trust by Jan Levan Zandt. And so Chris Johnson, who is a prolific reader, which is, I guess, the good reason why he's always in the library, yes? He came to me before the summer started, and he said, "Crystal, I really would love to bring the book Trust to the ministry and to do a book study on it." So I said, "Well, let me read it first, and we'll go from there." And what I found is a wonderful book. It's a practical and simple book, but simple truths of need. Because the reality is in our country, in the world, trust and truth seem to be leaving us. Actually, I was listening to a new PBS talk show. I can't remember the name of it. It's so new. All I can remember is the end of it was Ozzy. And the question was, do you believe that lying is a big deal? And the sad reality is that a great many people in the voting didn't think telling the truth was that big of a deal. That lying was actually acceptable, because doesn't everyone lie? And with that train of thought, how can we trust anything? But the reality is that trust is essential for a beautiful life. And so the book is called Trust, Mastering the Four Essential Trust: Trust in Self, Trust in God, Trust in Others, and Trust in Life. Because if you can't trust any of those things, then eventually we can't find the joy and the love and the laughter that we need to be successful in life. And so it was interesting to find out through the book, because there's some scientific information, that we as humans figure out how to trust ourselves and how to trust life the very start of our lives. Starting at day one, conception, from day one of our lives to about 4 or 5 years of age, we'll figure out how we can trust. We figure out how to trust ourselves based on how we are treated as children. For even though Yanla talks about in her story about how when she was a young girl, she was taken care of by her parents, but by her grandparents. And everything that she did, being a rambunctious young girl and being loud, they disagreed with her. They told her about everything that she did wrong and said very little about the things that she did right. And so in doing that, and of course you have to read the story, I'm making it very short, she didn't learn how to trust herself, because the things that were brought to her was that she, that her actions weren't bad, but that she was bad. So how can she trust herself when she was bad? The other component is how can we trust others if we can't trust our parents, and if we can't trust the people that we support outside? And so, again, if you've had parents who are neglectful, parents who were rough on you, it then becomes hard to trust in other people. And so our life journey then becomes trusting, learning this whole new thing of trust and valuing trust. And so first of all, it is trust in ourselves. It says, trust is the first task in our human ego. It grows from the need to be safe, to belong, and to survive. And so one would think that this is really about faith, and faith and trust are synonymous. They are kind of similar to one another. But in this, faith is a predecessor to trust. Faith being a noun, faith is different in this way than trust. Faith is something that you possess, something that you have. Trust is something that you do, is an action. So I'm going to tell you a story about the first tightrope performer, who was the person who went through Niagara Falls. And his name was, to do the tightrope over Niagara Falls, his name was Charles Baldwin, and his manager friend was Harry Colcord. And he, again, took a 1,300-foot-long, 2-inch in diameter string rope. On the American side, tied it against an oak tree. On the Canadian side, tied it against the rock. And Concord put balance things every 20 inches. But in the middle, no one could reach it. No one could stabilize it. So in the middle, it would dangle. And so the manager advertised and got everyone there. To make a very long story short, in 1859, Blondie decided to do the tightrope. And inch by inch, little bit by little bit, he walked the rope. And in the middle, it swayed and it dangled. But he made it to the Canadian side, and after a little bit of a rest, he came back. The crowd went wild. And so because he had faith he could do it, but because he trusted he could do it and he did it, he started making this an act. He started getting kind of ridiculous about going back and forth in the tightrope. The second time he did it, he did the same thing. He went all the way to the Canadian side, took a couple minutes, and there was something strapped to his back. There was a camera. He went to the middle where he was dangling. He took the camera off. He put it in the middle. He took pictures of the crowd. Now, this is 1859, so you know these big, bulky cameras, right? It's not a little. It's not like a little camera or anything. It's things with a tripod, and it's heavy. And you got to take the film out. You got to put it in. You got to wait there for in the middle where the wind was blowing, the breeze, and he took pictures of the crowd. He packed it back up, slapped it on his back, went back through. He started running across. He started doing flips across the rope. He just started getting ridiculous, in my point, because he knew he could do it. And the crowds were wonderful. So the point of the faith and everything was that at one point in time, he went to the Canadian side, and to the audience's horror, he carried on his back, his manager friend. Yes! Strapped to his back. First of all, what a friend. To crawl across Niagara Falls. That he went back and they made it. Wake up, Crystal. The process of the story is that, yes, the audience had faith that the tightrope person could do it. But it was Calkerd who trusted. See, that's the difference. You can have faith, all the faith you want. You can believe, you can possess this feeling of belief. But it was Calkerd who believed and had to trust to get on this man's back to go across. And he had to have trust to release and let go of himself. Because the instructions were, no matter what I do, you become me. You're no longer Calkerd. You are me. You, if I sway one way, you move with me. If I bounce, you move. You don't counteract. You meld with me. And trust and have faith. Now that's a lot of trust. To completely give up any sort of your own control to be able to just move with someone else. That's the difference between faith, because you can have faith that he can do it, but it takes a different sort of action, a trust. And so that's what we're talking about, is taking action. And the trust in yourself isn't just a belief that you can do something. The trust in yourself, as Yana Van Zandt says, is the development of mastery of an unwavering, unquestionable inward conviction about yourself. A mastery of an unwavering, unquestionable inward conviction about yourself that requires an inner belief that you can rely on your own character, abilities, strength, and capabilities to know the truth and act upon the knowledge in self-supportive manners. Which, when you really digest that in little bits and pieces, we ebb and flow with that because we have been brought up, because of our childhood, not to believe in our capabilities, not to believe in ourselves, not to believe in the mastery of being able to do it. Also, self-mastery is believing in the voice that you hear, not the ego voice, but your connection to hear the voice from your soul, that inner connection of the soul connected with the greater source we call God. And one of the greatest things and one of the greatest difficulties is giving up that control in ourself, in our ego, and relying and knowing and hearing on that voice. The first thing is how, which of all the voices that I hear in my head, and yes, we all hear multiple voices, which one is the voice of God? And how can I trust myself to accurately figure it out? How can I accurately, because I have known and been grown up and I've known all my life that I haven't made wise choices. So how do I know if the choices that I'm making of the voices, the multiple voices that I hear, and yes, we all hear voices. I know that in philosophy it says that if we hear voices, we're a little crazy. Well, I guess we're all crazy because we all hear different voices. But it's a matter of trusting in yourself that you can decipher through the ego self, through the negative ego. We all have ego. And ego is not necessarily bad. I know that as a Buddhist, it says ego bad, kill the ego. But the ego is there for a purpose. The negative component of the ego, that fear-based ego, we need to release and let go of. But it's the fear-based ego that we continually harp on. We continually believe. Instead of trusting that still small voice, or then the connection between that still small voice to move us forward so that we can achieve the mastery, so that we can achieve everything that we need to do. And so truly, trust that little voice in your head that says, wouldn't it be interesting if, and then do it. Self-trust is the first secret of a successful and beautiful life. And so how do we obtain that? Well, she goes into the fundamentals of trust is be, do, have. Be trustworthy to yourself within yourself is an internal act. Do what is trustworthy for yourself, for everyone else, which is an external act, and have a greater experience of trust in your life because you want to attract that which you give out, which is a marriage of the two. So how do you develop this? You learn to stand in your truth. What does standing in your truth mean? It means that once you remember that you are connected to source, that you stand in that. You don't waver. You don't move forward. You don't allow outward people, outward experiences, falter in the truth that you know within yourself to be true. You stand in your power and the power that God has provided you. And know that your power is different than anyone else's power. And how God is speaking to you is different than how God is speaking to anyone else. You and God have a relationship that is just your own. God speaks to you in ways that you can understand and can decipher. And so if you hear God speaking to you and it says one thing, don't go to someone else and say, hey, what do you think about this? God is talking to you and has a secret language. So stand forth with that. Trust and be with that. Stand in that power. Speak your truth. There's nothing that can be a blessing to you if you not only stand in your power, but if you decide to play it small and not speak your truth. I remember when I was younger, I talked about people who turned around 50 years old, how they didn't care about anything. They just said anything they wanted to whomever they wanted to because they just didn't care. I get that. You know, at some point in time, you just realize that, you know, just speaking your truth is the right way to go. The don't care part is not great. You want to be gentle. You want to be loving. There are ways. My mother used to say, it isn't what you say, it's how you say it. I grew up hearing that all the time. It isn't what you say, it is how you say it. Stand in your power. Speak your truth because you have a beautiful truth to say. And remember, it is the way you say it. And then be courageously vulnerable. Be courageously vulnerable. That is probably the most difficult thing because we grew up thinking that vulnerable is wrong. Vulnerable will get us killed. Vulnerable will show up as that negative ego self and will have us looking stupid. Vulnerable, if we believe that's what is going to happen, it'll show up that way. But saying, I'm going to be in my power and it's all right to make mistakes, and I'm going to make mistakes because I'm human, that's all right. To be there and say, I am going to continue to progress no matter how it looks because I'm going to stand in my power. I'm going to learn what my power is. I'm going to stand in my power. I'm going to speak my truth. And no matter what that is, I'm going to speak it in love, allows you to be open up and vulnerable. To trust, that is the first steps to be able to trust in yourself, because if you can't trust your word, if you can't trust your actions, if you can't trust that in yourself, then how can you trust anything else within you and around you? And so, I'm going to cut this short. I would invite you, and also, get the book. Do the book study. I'm giving you little snippets of a lot of stuff. This is worth delving into, whether you do it with Chris on Mondays or you just delve into it yourself. There's a multitude of lessons that are there for you to learn. I will leave you with this, a quote from Iyanla. Trust in self. Trust yourself because you are worthy of your own time, energy, attention, and love. You know, that's worth reading again. Trust yourself because you are worthy of your own time, energy, attention, and love. You, as a demonstration of and a representative of the presence of the Creator in the world, deserve and are worthy of your own trust. Trust yourself because it is the way you demonstrate that you are willing to embrace, engage, and enjoy life. Trust yourself because when the rubber meets the road, when all else fails, when everyone else has fallen by the wayside, you will know that you have always been and always will be there for yourself. And again, get the book. And for yourself in the bulletin, I invite you to do yet another affirmation. Yes, I invite you to every day do the prosperity meditation. But for yourself, say to yourself, I know how to trust myself, my intuition, and my guidance. Let's read that together. I know how to trust myself, my intuition, and my guidance. You know, I think we all rush through that. Let's say that one more time. Digest it. Feel it. Let's slow it down. I know how to trust myself. Stop. Feel that. I know how to trust myself. My intuition. Feel that. And my guidance. One more time all the way through. I know how to trust myself, my intuition, and my guidance. And so it is. Amen.